flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, lymph wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, here we are. Welcome to another edition of The Shooting Bench. It's the 16th of June, and it's a Monday. I hope you all had a good weekend. Hope you had a good Father's Day. We had a great Father's Day. I actually went over to Luna for a family reunion. I was, after moving so much and everything, I was afraid that I wasn't going to find the dates, and I tell you the truth, I haven't been as diligent as I should have in trying to find out where they're at, so I didn't. Let's see, I got Jason trying to find something here. Hang on just one second. He's trying to get an FFL for me. Anyway, we went over there, saw some relatives that I haven't seen in years. I think the last reunion I went to was probably... Shoot, I don't even remember. Probably almost 10 years ago. No, not that long. Anyway, whatever it was. And so we had a lot of fun doing that. And then we went to the first and only time. Well, I don't know if it's the only time. But I went to a ballet. I know. That was the grandkids. They were doing a recital there. And I thought I better go over there. And it was interesting. It's not anything that I'd make a habit of, but for the grandkids, I'll certainly do it. But it was interesting. And I have, you guys are not going to believe this. I'll probably wait till Friday night to tell you. Just scratch what I just said. Friday night, there's going to be an earth-shattering development in the music thing on Friday night. For those of you that are new, just listening, Friday nights we get away from all the doom and gloom and take a little break from it and try to get ready for the weekend with a little bit of a better attitude than what we have been. So we spend Friday nights doing music and stuff, usually all classic country. But you guys are going to be truly flabbergasted at what I tell you this Friday night. Rights at Risk, thank you for that. I didn't get to say all the things that I wanted to say in it. It's kind of short, but I think it turned out well, and thank you for that. Cowboy Concrete, and who else we got in here? Let's see. Let's check in the chat room here real quick. BB Burner, 007, Concrete and Cowboy, Tinker Doc, Hopper, Irish. Irish, good to see you. I don't see you in here very often. Glad you could make it. And Kilo Mini, Northwest Heavy, Pumpkin Cat writes, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Anonymous. I don't know who you are or where you came from, but glad you made it in here to listen to the Shooting Bench for a little while. Hopefully you'll hang with us. Hang on one more minute. We've got a little problem here with an FFL we have to get resolved. Hang on just one second. All right. For the classes we got going coming up this weekend, we have a couple of specials going on. Friday is the multi-state concealed weapons class. Multi-state doesn't mean that we have reciprocity with other states. It means that our training is recognized by numerous other states and allow you to get your concealed weapons permit in these other states. Of course, Arizona, you can get reciprocity with 30-some states, so either one would be good for you. We have a bunch of teachers coming into this class. This class is the one that will be the one that is free for teachers and school administrators and the people that are in direct interaction with our kids. And it's free. And what I've offered on top of that also, since the next logical choice after the concealed weapons class is personal defense handgun 1, which is a one-day defensive handgunning class. It's a good skill builder for those that are just starting and also a refresher for those that have done it before. And we're doing 20% off on that if you took the concealed weapons class on the day before that. So MJANTS, if Doc is here and he may have that, he could help you. If not, you need to get a hold of Dave, and Dave can definitely fix you up, our Dave down in Phoenix. I can, if you want to get a hold of him, I can PM you his contact information. He's definitely the one to talk to about that. I haven't done it, but he's done it a lot. Hopper, you're right. We are going to do it with the free class. I'll tell you the people I'm going to allow to take this free, and that is teachers, is public schools, full-time teachers, janitors, cafeteria workers, secretaries, principals, and the school nurse. Those are the ones that I'm looking to get in there. And it's going over real well. We've really filled this first class up. We've got room for probably... I can get three more for sure. I might could squeeze five more in there if I need to. But we really are trying to give the classes away. We're going to, you know, if we have to do this every time, we're going to go broke. But until we go broke, we're going to continue to do that because we understand that our teachers in most states are not allowed to carry in schools. But in some states, they are. But... Our plan here, our agenda, our devious little agenda here, is that we want to educate these teachers in such a manner that they go back to their schools and say, hey, I have seen the light. It is not like that at all. I went to Schatz Ranch, and this is what we learned. This is what we need to do. We need to get out there and get with our legislators. We need to make sure, like in, let's take New Mexico, for instance, it's strictly, well, pretty much any state. It's the state laws alone that keeps these teachers from being able to carry in schools. And if they could get the states to change, they could do it. There are some states that are allowed to. In Utah, teachers can carry to school. There's two or three other states that allow that. And I think that every state needs to do it. Now, in saying that, I also would, it's one of the few times when I would say legislate training, even in classes, even the states that have very minimal training. If the teachers are going to carry around a bunch of kids, they're going to take a minimum of 15 hours of training. Now, this doesn't I don't think that it violates their constitutional rights. They can carry any other time they want to, but if they're going to carry around a bunch of school kids, I just think they ought to have good professional training, and I think 15 hours is a minimum for that. They'll get a special class that will allow them to carry, that would cover active shooters in crowded hallways and how to handle things like that, which you don't cover in the average CCW class. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So anyway, all right, let's jump in here. I guess some of you may have seen this is a not a political or anything story here. It's one of those what would you call it? Human interest stories, maybe. It kind of pisses you off here in the beginning, but there's a little girl, cutest little girl in the world. She was attacked by 3 pit bulls in her uncle or granddad's yard or somewhere, and her face is tore up pretty bad. And they went with her, I believe it was her grandmother, into a Kentucky Fried Chicken. I don't guess anybody says that anymore. I guess they always say it KFC now. But anyway, this was in Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi. And the little girl went in there, and she was asked, she's 3 years old, for crying out loud, and her face was tore up pretty bad. She got a patch over one eye, but still she has these sparkling pretty little eyes, and she's just a precious little girl. They asked her to leave because they said it was disturbing some of the other guests, some of the other customers there. You know what? It's really a good thing for these other customers that I wasn't running that store, or that I wasn't in the store, period, whether I was running it or not. Well, they asked her to leave. And as you might expect, KFC's Facebook page lit up like a Christmas tree in about 10 minutes. And they caught ever-living, everlasting, ever-loving hell over making that little girl leave. Now, of course, it wasn't KFC's fault. It was a manager. It was one person in one store that did that. And, of course, KFC has apologized big time. They've apologized to the tune of $30,000. They've apologized to the little girl for all of this, and they are donating $30,000 towards her medical bills. Now, if that ain't stepping up to the plate, instead of trying to crawfish out of it, figure out a way to keep from doing it or to save face, they just said, you know, that is totally unacceptable. This is under investigation right now. We'll find out what happened. In the meantime, here's $30,000. Get your face fixed. And on top of that, since they did that, several other, I don't know about companies, several other people have also donated to this to help this little girl get her life back. She's real self-conscious, really embarrassed to go out because of what she looks like. She doesn't like to look at herself in the mirror. And the whole story is kind of heartbreaking. But when you see what KFC and these other people have done, I guess I'm just taking a wild stab at it here, that the Tinker, I hope that manager's days are numbered at that franchise. Matter of fact, yesterday should have been number zero. It should be over for that person. I was absolutely furious when I saw that, but to see that KFC has done that, I think, is awesome. And just guessing, I'm going to say she's going to make, you know, $50,000, $75,000, maybe $100,000. You know, we see these stories all the time where people, there are still good people out there. A lot of them. It's just there's so damn many bad ones, it's hard to pick them out sometimes. But that story about that homeless guy here, Amy talked about on her show a month or so ago, he made, seems like he made $130,000 or something like that. I don't remember for sure. after his story got out on the internet. So, and that's good. God bless him. God bless the people that sent the money to help him with that. I think that's an awesome deal. So we'll see what happens. I'm sure sometime here in the very near future, sometime here in the next few days, we'll find out what happened to that manager, that whoever it was that run that little girl out of there. And I really hope that it's not a paid leave while we investigate this or whatever. That person needs, if they keep them, which they shouldn't, if it were me. That's why would you need training for that? Some people on their Facebook page said, they need to train their managers. Well, they may need to train future ones better, but this one right here, why do you need training to be decent to people? Why do you need training to say, you know what, guys? This little girl has every bit as much right to come in here to eat as y'all do. And if you don't like it, then, we do fix this stuff to go, because that's what you're fixing to do. Why do you need training to do that? Cowboy, I'm glad you got that. Thank you. Thank you for letting me know. took it right out of your hand. Well, good. I hope she gets some good out of it. I know that's one of the reasons that I made the book he's talking about there, is Dying is Not an Option. It's a book that I wrote a few years ago and still selling quite a few of them. And I made it in such a way that it's comprehensive and compact and not full of a bunch of... I mean, there's thousands of survival-type manuals out there that are, 3 inches thick or inch and a half, whatever. Hundreds and hundreds of pages. And they're good. There's a lot of stuff in them. And there's not a thing in the world wrong with that, except... it's so overwhelming that you can't, it's hard to get everything out of it that you need, and it's a little big and bulky to take with you out camping. So I made one that took some of the easiest ways to build fires, the easiest ways to build shelters, the easiest ways to build traps, the easiest ways to signal, just a few basic things, a little bit on firearms, a little bit on urban and rural survival, and put it in a small compact manual with spiral binding so that you could just open it up, lay it down on the ground, and perform the task that you need to do. And then the covers are water resistant, and it's only like 130 pages or so, 135, something like that. So it goes over pretty good. That's not to say that it's going to replace all of the many manuals that's out there, because there's lots of good ones. I know some people that have written some awesome books. But this is one that you take with you. And they're cheap enough. You throw them in a glove box, put them in your backpack, throw them in your saddlebags, put one in the camper, whatever. So you've always got one with you. All right. Enough about that. Let's go on. Hey, you know what? If you are itching for a fight and you want to go see how you stand up under an immense adrenaline rush, if you want to go to a war zone, go to Chicago. No, really, go to Chicago. Father's Day weekend, this past weekend, yesterday, 2 dead, 25 shot. One weekend. I don't think that's a record, but it's a pretty good show in there for one weekend for a bunch of gangbangers. Hey, by the time the weekend was over, and I suppose, let's see, weekend began on Friday the 13th, of course, unlucky for a 15-year-old boy and 6 others that were wounded in the south and west sides of the city. Most of the victims in their 20s and 30s. On Friday afternoon, another 15-year-old boy is wounded in Avalon Park. Boy is shot in the chest and listed in serious condition. Now, that happens when you get shot in the chest. Friday wasn't the end of it, though. As Saturday rolled into Sunday morning, 12 more had been shot, and one died from that. Finally, at the end of Father's Day, Sunday. When that was wrapped up, two had been killed. Grand total been shot, 25. So, two killed, 25 wounded, all from shooting in a town where you can't have a damn gun. Can't carry a gun. Not supposed to have them in your house. The looks like one of them that died was 17. One of them was second one to die was 28 years old. So, how's that gun control working out for you there? If you add Thursday to this, if you put one more day on it, Thursday the 12th, that's going to add up to 33 shot and 3 dead. 3 days. Well, 4 days. There you have it. Can't hardly believe they... mother shooting fathers. That may have been what it was, Hopper. Never know. I figure a lot of them people didn't know. Well, I won't get into that, I guess. Yeah, their accuracy is a little on the lacking side there. But let's see how it works out for Connecticut. This is a bad start. I'm not even going to start this one until after the break, because you need to think about this a little bit, especially if you live in Connecticut. This is not going to turn out well for the people. We thought there for a while that the second American Revolution, the second shot heard around the world, may actually be in Connecticut, and then it kind of petered out, tapered off a little bit. Well, that still might come to pass. Never know. We've got some new developments here in Connecticut. Share with you here in a little bit. So I think I'm going to go ahead and take a little break, and then we'll be back and talk about this.
Allahu Akbar. Allah.
What answer is that, Haji?
Hi, this is Amy Reynolds inviting you to come see what it's like living way out here, new on Just Measures Radio. We'll talk about cooking, canning, gardening, and homemaking, along with storytelling and nostalgic journeys to yesteryear.
Join Amy every Monday through Thursday morning right here on Just Measures Radio Network for Living Way Out Here, 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 to 11 Central. Don't miss it.
And what I wouldn't give to ride in that old truck with him. If heaven wasn't so far away, I'd pack up the kids and go for the day and introduce him to their grandpa.
Come.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's a chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern on Just Measures Radio. Don't miss it.
It's
Join Cope for 2 full hours of political incorrectness, current events, gun talk, and so much more.
Now you listen to me.
Who the hell are you?
You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
All right, we're back. Sorry about the confusion there. Yeah, trying to cope there. I saw that what David Codrius, actually, if you listened to the shooting bench, you would have already heard that. We talked about that last week. We'll touch on it again tonight because David's just getting that out. And that's I think it's a serious concern. But what he's talking about, what David Codrius just said, a lot of people call him Codrea. It's not Codrea, it's Codria. The way he explained it to me when I had him on the radio show here a couple years ago, he said, he said it's like Gloria. It's Codria, not Codrea, as a lot of people say. That's what I used to call him too, but that's the proper way to pronounce it. So I switched pages here. I need to get back over here. Sorry about that. There we go. We were going to talk about Connecticut first, and yeah, we'll touch on what David said there. Connecticut, you know, they've passed this. They were instrumental in starting a whole bunch of this crap that went on here a year or so ago. And several states made the mistake of kind of falling in line with them, all in a knee-jerk reaction to the Sandy Hook shooting, like banning magazines would somehow have made this less tragic or less casualties or what. I don't know what the hell they're thinking. It didn't do Colorado any good. We all know what happened in Colorado. They tried to do some of the same stuff, and they've had five or six companies pack up and leave. They've had two senators recalled. They've had all kinds of stuff. They've had quite a drop in tourism, a drop in hunting trips. I mean, it was not good for them. And now, you know what? That reminds me. I'm going to find another story here, and I'm going to find it right now while you're waiting, because this is, I forgot to grab this one, and I saw it here last week, and I need to, here we go, before we talk about Connecticut anymore, we got to talk about Governor Chicken Pooper in Colorado, Hickenlooper, I'm sorry, I thought it was Chicken Pooper, Hickenlooper is his name, and naturally he's a Democrat. He has issued a formal apology. Now, we can just stop right there. Talk about too little, too late. You stepped on your willy, buddy. That was not cool. Anyway, issued a formal apology to the state sheriffs for not consulting them over his new gun control laws that have been absolutely less than popular with the people that live there. He's promised a more open line of communication for future policy initiatives. How about past policy initiatives? It's not too late for you to repeal that law. We can just go ahead and, now, like I said, it's too little too late. What you ought to do is just step off out to the river down there where the water is nice and stick your head under three times and bring it up twice. That's what you ought to do. If you were half a man, that's what you do. But anybody with a name like Chicken Pooper, but anyway, he's offered apology to his to his sheriffs around there. It's really too late. He was speaking before the sheriffs here last Friday. Spokesman for the governor says confirms that the governor apologized to the sheriff for not meeting with him prior to the passage of the gun control bills. He also said his administration didn't do a good job anticipating pushback on gun control. No, you damn sure didn't, Spud. You didn't do a good job on that at all. You got pushback like I'm sure you didn't count on. According to a spokesman, Hickenlooper pledged better communication in the future. That's, like I said, too little, too late. You should have thought about that a year ago, or 2 years ago, whatever it was. I'm wondering if he's not looking to want more gun control, regardless of what the residents think. I wonder if he's trying to butter the sheriffs up now into following him into a new gun control thing. I don't know. But there was a poll released Tuesday found the majority of Coloradans have mixed feelings on the state's gun control laws, and that Governor Chicken Pooper has split approval numbers with voters as he heads into 2014. It's an election thing. When voters asked directly if they support stricter new gun control laws, 55% opposed the laws, 40% approved of them. So we got 5% missing there. However, Coloradoans overwhelmingly, 85% to 14%, said they support requiring background checks for all gun buyers and were split at 49-48 on limits to ammunition magazines of 15 rounds. So this is a case of, it's kind of like the Electoral College deal. We have the DeTinker, that's exactly what he's doing, Spud. He's trying to save his job, that's exactly right. But what we have here is a case of where the overwhelming majority of the voters are not in rural America. They're not in rural Colorado. They're in Denver. They're in Aurora. And that is the, you know, Pueblo. That's the, overwhelmingly, that is the population of Colorado. So that's where they're getting all this. If they would leave Denver and Aurora out of that and only poll rural Colorado, rural America, rural New Mexico, Arizona, New York, I don't care, I think you would see a dramatically vast, overwhelming difference in how these polls come out. No doubt in my mind. Hey, Nan dropped in there. Glad you could drop in, even if it's not for long. You say you got to go in a minute, but glad you came in. Anyway, I wanted to throw that out there before we got into the Connecticut deal. Now, this thing in Connecticut, if y'all haven't seen this, some journalist in Connecticut reported here that the gun control laws that state passed last year, We already know what a threat they are to the people of Connecticut. Those that missed the deadline to register their quote-unquote assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, which have both been outlawed, will be treated as criminals, although they may have attempted to obey the law, but simply missed the deadline. So, now that kind of sets the stage here for the rest of the story. This journalist said that the top aide to the governor there, Malloy, says that the state will punish those who missed the registration deadline, whether they intended to or not. According to this aide, he said, and while the state won't immediately prosecute those who missed the deadline, it isn't ignoring that information either. The rifle and magazine declarations will be included in information given to police responding to a certain address. And I quote, This would be a factor in deciding on how to respond to different situations. Now, what do you think that means? What does that tell you? Without getting all fanatical tinfoil hat wearing, going crazy about it, just think about it for a minute. How would you, if you were a rational, nonsensical, or non-nonsensical, I guess would be better, individual sitting on a jury or town council or so, how would you take that? Let me read you that last sentence again. The rifle magazine declarations will be included in information given to police responding to certain address. This would be a factor in deciding how to respond to different situations. What does that mean to you? Let me let you think about that just a second. I got to catch up on my chat room. You all outrun me here a little bit. Yeah, the Tinker, you got it. Kilo, Hopper, yeah, you get it. Yeah, it means they send full SWAT teams to the houses to maybe to deliver a subpoena to a witness, or maybe to something to do with a not paying child support or a parking ticket or whatever. It means that they're going to have the full meal deal, full battle rattle, out to a house to deliver a summons for an unpaid parking ticket. That's what it means. You want to call me fanatical, you call me radical, you call me whatever. Mark my words. You don't say a word to me tonight. You just keep your mouth shut, and you wait until... I don't know, let's give it, 3 months, 6 months? You wait and see what happens. There will be people drug out of their homes in their underwear and locked up speeding, anything. If they have to go to the person's house, is what I get out of this, you're going to find these people are being treated as violent criminals for doing nothing more than missing some arbitrary deadline. This is not going to turn out well. Mark my words. Just write it down. Cope said it tonight. Watch the news, pay attention to what's going on, and I think you're going to find that this is not going to fare well at all. Anyway, and Mike Vanderbo is all over this, and David Kodria is all over this, and we all get it. We understand they're going to prove a point. They don't like being stood up to. They don't like people disobeying what they have mandated. They say, well, you're going to do this. When you say no, I'm not. They don't like that. And when you don't obey, you're going to be punished. You're going to be disciplined. Now, we're going to find out how much sand those gun owners in Connecticut's got here before too long, I think. It is very sad what has happened to us. It sure is. I think that many just put a definition in here. Excessive force by a law enforcement officer is a violation of a person's constitutional rights. The term excessive force is not precisely defined. However, the use of force greater than that which is reasonable and prudent law enforcement officers should use under the circumstances is generally considered to be excessive. Well, that's all real well and good. It gives you a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's too bad it doesn't apply anywhere in the United States. Let's read that definition to that girl that was beat down and ribs broken and bruised and everything, or the one that was slammed her face into the unarmed, non-aggressive, all by herself drunk girl that was thrown down a jail cell and her face hit on the stool and busted her face all to pieces and her orbital bone and everything. Yeah, let's read this definition to her. I'm sure they would very much be appreciative of that. How many stories do you want me to read you of gross misapplication of force? There are, it's beginning to mount. It's beginning to get a lot higher. The girl that jaywalked and didn't hear the cop. Yeah, that was another one. How many do you want? There's hundreds of them. We talk about it every day. Every single day, I have another. You know, the sad thing is, it used to be that I looked around and I'd try to find one to put in. Now I have to pick out and see which one I want to use, because there are multiple cases every day of this exact thing. Now here we go. You see what y'all have done now? You know what's going to happen? What's going to happen now is I'm going to have to play accountability at the next break. You know, it happens. I need to quit talking about this. Y'all won't have to listen to that anymore. But I'm going to have to play it, because that's just that's what. Yeah, they're going to shoot your dogs. They're going to take your kids and make sure that CPS gets them. They're gonna break things, tear things up just to show you how tough they are. How about that young Marine in Tucson here a few years ago? He was wrong house. It was, yeah, it was wrong house, and they went in and shot him 72 times in 7 seconds. Yep, they killed him mighty dead. Wrong house. Oh, I'm sorry, lady. Here's a T-shirt. Didn't mean to interrupt your evening, but got the wrong house. Sorry about that. Queso. Hey, that's not how you spell that, queso. Oh, you're not. That's not Spanish for cheese. I got you. Okay. Anyway, glad you can make it in here. Many, you say dogs have no constitutional rights. It's easy to shoot them. How about young Marines? How about construction workers? How about disabled people? How about let's see, what am I trying to say? The mentally handicapped. How about them? They have constitutional rights? It doesn't appear that way. They're getting stomped and beat and pepper sprayed and shot and thrown in jail for unreasonable amount of time for nothing. Pumpkin Cat, hate to see you go, but glad you could come in here for a little while. Oh well, let's say in Keto, you're right. Police dogs have constitutional rights. When you mess with one of them, you have messed with an actual police officer in their minds. So if you stomp my dog, why haven't you stomped on a family member? And that's the way most of us see it in our eyes. Well, yeah. Okay. So I've been watching this stuff. ISIS. There's a lot of stuff going. This is turning into a mess out there, no doubt about it. We may get to some of that here in a little bit. Well, these next two, probably one, we'll see. It'll get us up to the break. Apparently, and I don't know that this is going to hold any water. I mean, it makes for a good story, but it probably really means nothing. But on Friday, there was a, this last Friday, there's a California attorney has put a U.S. District Court judge on notice of Obama's treason following the release of five top-notch Taliban jihadists in an illegal trade for one deserter, one, and I use this rank very loosely, Sergeant Bergdahl. He's no more a sergeant than the man in the moon. He should be, shouldn't even be a private. He should be a buck private right now while he's sitting in Leavenworth. And hopefully that'll happen. But somehow I got the feeling that as long as Obama's in office, that that's not going to happen. This attorney's been involved with Judge Hollander. Hollander is the one that they sent the notice to. In a case to expose the illegal and fraudulent use of a Social Security number by Obama. And the question is whether the judge will pursue this seriously or not, considering she was actually appointed by Obama in 2010, so I'm thinking maybe not. But I've got the docket number here if you're interested, if you want to look it up. I don't know exactly how to read this. It looks like 1 and then a colon, 13-CV, Charlie Victor, -01878-Echo Lima Hotel, the District of Maryland. And they also talked about on KABC radio out there, telling how the Social Security number 04268-4425, which is from Connecticut and belongs to a guy named Harry Bownell, but was used by Obama to file his tax returns. How did that work exactly? Hey, does anybody want to see if what's that security thing, protect identity theft? That's my real Social Security number. What is that? You want to see if it really works? Let's see. What can you do with 04268-4425? That would be awesome. And in conjunction with numerous fraudulent IDs and all this, well, I'm thinking nothing's going to happen. This oh, by the way, this attorney is a woman. She said, notice of treason committed by the holder of the stolen Connecticut Social Security number of Harry Bownell, risk to national security. Motion to expedite, motion for reconsideration, expedite release of the SS-5 to Social Security number of Harry Bownell, fraudulently assumed by Barry Sotoro, a.k.a. Barry Sobarka, a.k.a. Barack Obama. Motion to expediently forward to the federal grand jury under 18 U.S.C. 3332 or order by the court to the U.S. attorney to forward to the federal grand jury evidence of Obama's use of a stolen Connecticut Social Security number and bogus IDs, as well as recent act of treason by Obama, a.k.a. Sotoro, a.k.a. Sobarka. I haven't heard that one. Defines treason as whoever, hang on a minute, whoever, owing allegiance to the United States, levies war against them or adheres to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort within the United States or elsewhere, is guilty of treason and shall suffer death or shall be imprisoned not less than 5 years and fined under this title but not less than $10,000 and shall be incapable of holding any office under the United States. Okay, well, I guess don't let the door hit your ass on the way out, Barry. Well, I don't doubt that's going to happen, but makes for a good story anyway. That's about all I can say. There's a lot more to the story, but it's all you know, details about the prisoner trade and all that stuff. So, let's see, there's an update here. A reader provided the court's ruling in the matter. Here is Judge Hollander's ruling. In it, she writes, plaintiff's emergency motion and the various forms of release requested herein will be denied. It is literally no relation to plaintiff's case in this court. Instead, plaintiff uses the motion to attack President Obama for recent actions he has taken in his capacity as President of the United States. Needless to say, plaintiffs' disagreement with President Obama's presidential decision-making does not provide support for her allegation that the Social Security Administration's response to her Freedom of Information Act request was inadequate. She then concludes, for the reasons stated previously and for the reasons expressed here, the court will grant the motion to expedite, will deny the emergency motion in all other respects, and will deny the motion for reconsideration. A separate order follows. Well, there you have it. That didn't take long, did it? Just had to get a little farther down in the story. Oh, well. It was fun while it lasted. I guess everybody has been keeping up, at least partly, with the contractors, the American citizens that are under siege in Iraq. Yeah, LifeLock, M. Jance, thank you. Yeah, LifeLock, check it out. That's what I was trying to think about. So, let's see here. Let me catch up again with my chat room here. You guys are pretty active here tonight. All right. Well, we're just about at break time again. Let me remind you again, check out Shots Ranch website at shotsranch.com. Don't get too attached to that one. We've got a couple of people working on a new one as we sprecken right now. And one of these days here, real soon, you're going to go to shotsranch.com and see the new website. Now, I'm going to tell you, I haven't even seen the new website, so I can't guarantee it's going to be better than the last one. I don't know. But we'll find out. We'll find out together because it's going to be available. I've got access to it, but I'm just not interested in going and trying to deal with that with as many other things I got to deal with right now. Got down to 97, T-Dog and Crucis, really? Boy, that was a call. You know, it got down. It's getting down to, every night, it's getting down to about 53 here at nights. There was one night this week it was supposed to be down to 40-something, 43, 44, something like that. We'll see if that happens. But it's been really nice here at night. I love it when it's nice like that. All right, let's see here. I told you I was going to play this. I think we got a few new folks in here. So I'll play this for them, and the rest of y'all can just ignore it because I know you've heard it before. But I think it's time. We got to play it again. So let me. This is going to be kind of a long break, but that's all right. You deserve it.
That's what I said. James is done good, but he's better, and I'm better than both of them. No brag, just fact.
Now you listen to me. Who the hell are you? You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do. That's right. Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's a chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, the Just Measure Radio Network.
My name is John Q. Public,
and I am a member in good standing of an organization called America. And I have a message for those agencies and agents that work under the auspices of the Department of Justice. You have called me many things in the past, rebel, right-wing extremist, domestic terrorist, to name a few, but that is not important. What I'm about to tell you is... There must be accountability in all things, sooner or later. When you sin, however big or small, you will be held accountable, either in this life or the next. When you invade people's privacy, violate their rights, steal property, break up families, and hurt people, the time is fast approaching that you will be held accountable both in this life and the next. You and I took the same oath, administered by the same people. We both swore to protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Some of you actually feel that you honor that oath, but you violate it each time you force a young girl to her bedroom floor in nothing but her underwear and hold her there at gunpoint. Or when you shoot or stomp a family pet to death, or shoot a young boy down in cold blood in the mountains of Idaho, or incinerate over 70 innocent people in a church in Texas. Warriors, indeed. How dare you call me a domestic terrorist? I go to work every day, sometimes at two jobs to make ends meet. I attend church every Sunday that I'm not working. As difficult as it is, I try to make time each day for my kids. I teach them about the Constitution and the Golden Rule. I have extra food and supplies to help myself and others through hard times. I try as hard as I can to obey the ever-increasing number of laws that are forced upon us, and I pay my fair share of taxes. I have a gun to protect myself and my family against those who would do us harm. I shouldn't have to use it to protect us against you. In fact, your organization is not even authorized by the Constitution and shouldn't be here, but since you are here, let's talk about your job description and performance. We have common enemies, you and I, that we should be united in fighting. The Founding Fathers never intended for us to fight each other. We should be as one. The current us-against-them attitude should never have been allowed to rear its ugly head. Division is unhealthy for the country. You will undoubtedly conduct more unconstitutional invasions of homes and businesses, and more innocent people will be injured or killed. A dairy in Pennsylvania, a rabbit grower in Kansas, a gun shop in New Mexico. It may even be me and my family. But let me make one thing abundantly clear. We, the people, have grown weary of living in fear. We're tired of being treated like animals. If you continue to follow the path that you are on, the time may come when you will not find us waiting to be descended upon when we least expect it. We may come to you. We outnumber you 1,000 to 1, and the same people that trained you trained many of us. We, the people, are becoming aware of those numbers. One day, you will launch one of your cowardly sneak attacks on an unsuspecting young family in Idaho, and instead of your brave sniper finding a defenseless, unarmed woman holding a baby in her arms, he may find that the tables have been turned. One day, instead of terrorizing and destroying another American family in retribution for a trivial infraction of an unconstitutional law, instead of shooting down defenseless children or young veterans that are trying only to live the American dream, you may find patriots waiting for you that have been pushed to their limit. One day, you will find that you have awakened a sleeping giant, and we the people will indeed hold you accountable for your evil deeds. Hundreds of men, women, and children have died at your hand because of poor information, no information, or just plain overzealous, out-of-control power freaks on an adrenaline high that have no regard for human life. Agents that think their badge is a license to kill with impunity. The difference between you and us is that we will not harm your family as long as they stay out of the fight. I don't want your family to go through what you have put many of ours through. Yes, they will be sad if you don't come home, but when the grieving is over, they will come to understand that you simply chose the wrong side. You see, this is nothing more than a conflict between good and evil. It's that simple, but this is not how it is supposed to be. This is not the America that the Founding Fathers entrusted us with. I implore each of you, before you go to work tomorrow, to take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror and see if you truly like what you see. If you can look at yourself and be proud of what you've done, or what you may be called upon to do, or more importantly, if you feel that you can walk uprightly before God and look Him in the eye and feel justified in what you have done, then we have nothing further to discuss. But some of you are not really jackbooted thugs. Some of you are simply misguided and feel that you really are doing the right thing. To you, I say, please, follow your conscience, do what you know in your heart is right, for we the people will hold you accountable.
Workshop, Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron.
All right, we're back. I've been eating pistachios just as fast as I could there, and I had to take a drink of water. Sorry about that. All right. Let's something that you guys might think about, and most of you already know this, but just in case, in the off chance that there might be somebody listening to the shooting bench that hadn't thought about this, take your wives, children, anybody out there that is not as or husbands, as far as that goes. If you got any guns that you're planning on keeping, if you got any that you're planning on putting away for long term, make sure that everybody in the household knows how to use it and use it fairly decently. Go through the type of ammunition that it uses, what to look for, any common malfunctions, any things that may be peculiar to that particular gun. I thought about this yesterday, and it always seemed kind of like a no-brainer is something that you do. But I've got 3 revolvers left out of, 14 Glocks. But I got 3 revolvers left that I have kind of neglected, don't ever do anything with them. And I thought, you know what? Might not be a bad idea to put one of those, one or two of those things away. I'm not using them anyway. The only thing I use them for is classes, and I've got 3 revolvers. I've got 4 with a single action, single six that I have. 22 Magnum. So that makes 4 revolvers, 1 single action and 3 double action. As far as demonstrations in a class, doesn't make any difference what caliber it is. If I've got a single action and a double action, that's all that matters. So I decided that one or more of these needs to go away, just in case. Just sit around and wait. If I don't ever use them, that means that's a very, very good thing, or I'm dead, one or the other. So I thought I better make sure that Amy knows how to use these. And sure enough, she hadn't shot a revolver since she was a little kid and didn't know much about them at all. So I thought, well, this no time like the present. Let's go out and get your earmuffs and get your glasses. Let's go out in the backyard. So, went out there and took a GP100 and went through some drills on loading and unloading and different types, using a speed loader and using a speed strip and loading it without the use of speed devices of any kind and shooting it. And of course, Amy, she's not recoil sensitive at all or anything, so she did just fine with it. Caught on real fast, and we didn't have to use up a whole bunch of ammunition for it, and she was comfortable with it. So, and I feel better now that we've taken the time to show her these things. And think about. I've told you this before. Some of you may have done it. I can assure you that all of you have not done it. And that is to figure out at least one gun. If you've only got 2 or 3 guns around the house, we'll pick one of them out and go put it away somewhere. Go put it, get it out of the house Either bury it, take it to somebody's house that you trust, go take it out in the woods and put it somewhere where you may have some chance of finding it after poop hits the fan. Poop is going to hit the fan, and probably in the not too distant future. So this is one of those things that's like it's kind of like carrying a gun every day. It's kind of like believing in God. If you believe, no, let me change that. If you don't believe, but you live your life like you do, just in the off chance that maybe it's true, how can you go wrong? If you don't believe, and you keep doing the same things, you know, not thinking that there'll be any reprisals, any retribution, any payback, any whatever for what you do your entire life, and you find out right at the end that, oh dear, those people were right. I should have done this a little better. Too late now. Damn, it's hot down here. Well, it's if you put something away and you don't ever use it, it's going to be a lot better to say at the end of 25 years, you're on your deathbed and you say, I've got this one gun. I wish I hadn't buried that thing. I could have used it all these years. That's a small regret. If, on the other hand, your house burns down, you're raided, the poop hits the fan, and everything goes to hell in a big way, and you wind up with nothing to defend yourself with but a pocket knife, might you not say, damn, I wish I'd have listened to Cope 25 years ago and put something away so I'd have something to fall back on just in case? Well, it ain't going to be 25 years. I don't think it's going to be 25 months. I hope like hell we have 25 weeks. As fast as things are going right now, I can't believe that anybody out there with any sense at all, with two brain cells to rub together, cannot believe that something is about to happen. Okay, so you're damn right. How can you not see this? I mean, I guess these people, these Obama lovers, I don't know. Maybe they think it's normal. Maybe they think it's, I don't know. I don't get it. We still find people, don't worry about it. It's going to blow over. You know, it'll all get better. You know, after the next election, we'll get this all straightened up. You know, even quasi-conservatives. We are absolutely watching the death of Western civilization right now. Damn right. And I get about a quarter to a third away some of the speeches that I do when I speak publicly. And one of the things that I say is, you know, I used to be diplomatic about this. I used to try to convince people to come over to our side, trying to get them to think like I do, kind of. And at the end, it usually winds up being an agree to disagree. You know, I don't like them, they don't like me, or maybe we're trying to like each other. Maybe we're trying not to make enemies so we don't get too hard with it. But that's all over now. I don't think that way anymore, and I feel a whole lot better for it. I have no patience. I have no sympathy. I tell you what I believe and what I think, and if you don't believe it, that's fine. You just go on your merry way. Yeah, I don't care. Do whatever you want to do. I tell you what you don't do, though. You do not come to my house looking for food, looking for shelter, looking for protection. We're too close right now. And the people that don't believe it are going to be up for a very, very hard, very rude awakening here very soon. So, anyway, let's get off of that. We need to go do something else here. Let's see, I got another story here. Oh, speaking of jackbooted thugs, speaking of accountability, there was a this guy in Florida. Cops were called to home about 1 o'clock in the morning to investigate a disturbance. This guy, Michael Maxwell, hang on a minute, I'm on the wrong story. Well, let me go ahead and finish this. This is not the jackbooted thug story that I thought it was. I've got two of these here that are related, so disregard my first comments, but everything else still applies. This guy Maxwell and several other guys had stormed into a home, but it didn't work out the way it planned. By the time Palm Bay police got there, they found that Maxwell had been kicked, beaten, and tased by the folks that lived there. He was taken to the Holmes Regional Medical Center in Melbourne, Florida, for treatment of his injuries. The suspect was charged with 1 count of home invasion robbery with firearm or a deadly weapon and 4 counts of battery. I love it when a plan comes together. Held a $51,000 bond. 17-year-old companion arrested on the same charges. I love that. And there's another one here just about like that. A little bit different. Hang on a second. I've got them all tangled up here. I got to get them pulled apart. This one, come on, Christmas. Let's go here. All right, Detroit. 64-year-old man recovering in a hospital where he was stabbed at a gas station. Guy talked about the attack took place about 5 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning. This was, this last Saturday, the day before yesterday. 5 o'clock in the morning, says he was approached by a would-be thief who demanded money. Soon after the demand, the attack began. At first, the thief began punching him. Then the punches turned to stabbing and continued until he passed out. He said, I didn't realize I was bleeding until I hit the floor. All the blood started coming out, and I got real weak, and I couldn't move. The victim was left with stab wounds in his chest and abdomen. He's expected to recover. May have to undergo surgery. Police said they've arrested a 27-year-old Detroit man who lived near the gas station where the attack took place. During the attack, this is the part that'll tick you off. During the attack, there were 3 people standing nearby, but none of them tried to help the victim. Said 3 or 4 other people in the gas station, they could have easily held him until the police got there, but they didn't show any kind of favoritism. It makes me feel like people don't care what happens to other people. I understood that he had a gun, but I never saw a gun. The 64-year-old is still in pain, says his faith is helping him deal with it. It's a choice you make. It's a choice. Okay. So after all the good things we said about good people earlier, then we go to Detroit and find out that there's a city full of anal orifices out there that to let this 64-year-old guy almost get killed. It's a wonder that he wasn't. Here's a story here, unrelated. Retired mailman wins lottery for the 4th time. You've got to be kidding me. All right, here's another one that'll make you happy. April Fool's. Oh, it's June Fool's. Amy just corrected me. It's not April anymore, so disregard that last comment. All right. If you happen to live in Littleton, Colorado, and you live in a housing area that's run by Southbridge Townhomes Association, you do not want to fly your Betsy Ross flag with the 13 stars in the circle there. You do not want to fly that outside your townhouse out there. Sorry about that. Goodness, hang on a minute. It's getting worse. All right, this guy said he's facing a $200 fine for flying a Betsy Ross flag outside his townhouse. He told the TV station there in Denver that he went to Denver, that he was issued the fine by his homeowner association for flying the flag last week ahead of Flag Day, June 14th. Sorry, I keep turning the mic off. I think I swallowed a bug or something. He said, do they really think I'm bringing down property values? It's not like I'm flying an Oakland Raiders flag. They told him that the only acceptable flag is the current American flag with 50 stars and 13 stripes. The Betsy Ross has 13 stars and 13 stripes. He said he has the right to fly the Betsy Ross flag under the Freedom to Display the American Flag Act of 2005. We flew that same flag upside down for back when Obama got elected. I got numerous pictures of it flying upside down at our store in Farmington. And we caught a little bit of grief over it. I can show you some. Can I help you with something? Oh, great. We can't wait, huh? We got a little bit of grief. I could direct you to some of the newspaper comments there in the chat room thing, whatever you call it there, about what we did. But anyway, he goes on to say that act uses a loose description of the term American flag. Any number of stars, any number of stripes, any size, any material, any flag that purports to be an American flag. He said, I don't want to piss off my neighbors and make them angry. Wow. He said, I don't want to piss off my neighbors or make them angry. I just want to honor our history. And I'm with him 100%. His flap with the Homeowner Association started in April when he decided to fly the Gadsden flag. The Don't Tread on Me flag, you know. He got a warning for that and then a $100 fine in May for flying a Colorado state flag. The fine for flying the Betsy Ross arrived in Renner's mailbox June 7th. He said he owns 13 flags and flies them all with pride. My goodness, I'm sorry about this. I don't know what it is. Got a little piece of pistachio skin sucked down there somewhere or something. Anyway, we'll find out what happens with it. He says there's 50 townhomes and a park and a pool in there, and he's getting fined $200 for flying the cotton picking flag. Let me try to see what the chat room did here for a little while. Now, the Hopper said he did too for months. Yeah, I did. I did. There's two different times that I have flown the flag upside down. The first one was back when Clinton made a mockery of the justice system, and we left it upside down for some time, several months. And then we eventually accepted that and moved on to bigger and better things. And then after Obama got elected the first time, we did the same thing. And I've got numerous pictures. We had quite the showdown over that one for a little while. We were we were reported to the FBI. We were reported to the local police. We reported to Keystone cop in the area that thought we were doing a terrible thing. And I actually put a letter to the editor in there talking about why we did that and what the law said and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, what are you talking about, 007? Let's see, I think Cope talked about it years ago. What did I talk about years ago? Millionaires buying bunkers. Guess I lost out on that conversation here. 007, yeah, I'm with Mountain Shooter 100%. Well, 99.9%. I think 4350 is the best powder. It has been the best for me, anyway, to get that good combination of accuracy and velocity out of it. 760 works good. I don't quite get the accuracy. It still shoots sub MOA, but not quite as good as 4350. However, it is. It doesn't take as long to load with 760, because it flows through my powder measure like water, and I don't have to adjust it and weigh every charge. 4350 is so coarse that I weigh every single one that I use. So that's how I get the accuracy that I do out of it. But 4350 is excellent, and you can use standard primers with it unless you're in real, real cold weather. If you're hunting in wintertime up in Cody, Wyoming, then you'd probably want to go ahead and back that down just a little bit and use Magnum primers in it. But for the most part, they work fine with standard primers. 760, on the other hand, you need Magnum primers all the time, no matter... In real hot weather, you can probably get by with standards for it well enough, but it calls for Magnums no matter what. So, but I've had good luck with 4350. And trying to cope, yeah, I think before I'd... You know, why would you move into... I don't understand why people would use... Would intentionally move into a place that's going to set a bunch of rules. Okay, you're buying this place. Over a period of time, you're going to own it. It's your house. And this little bit of property is yours. If you decide to move, you can sell it to someone else because it's yours. But yet, you have to sign an agreement saying you won't do certain things, you will do certain things. And that's okay, because that's their constitutional right. If that's their property and they're sitting up, they want to do it, that's all right. I have no problem with that. What I have a problem with is moving into a place like that and being subject to that. It's certainly their right to do it, but it's my right not to live there. And I wouldn't. Okay, so what in the world? What does it matter with your Remington 700? What do you mean you got a ways to go before you'd be comfortable with it for more than plinking? Remington 700, I think, is the finest bolt-action rifle God ever created. I'm a big fan of the Remingtons. But there's a lot of good rifles out there, you know. not good enough for me, anyway. No, there's... I like the Howa rifles. I like the... I've never been a monstrous fan of the Winchester. I like them okay. But the Remingtons, Howas... let's see. What's another one of my... That's really the Savage... the Savage 110s. Now, there's some things that I don't like about them, but accuracy is... not one of those things. Savages shoot very well, no matter... I've had one Savage in my life that I've seen or owned that I never could make shoot. But most of them, I've had some of them that shoot, you know, groups that you measure with a micrometer in the thousands of inches, not a ruler. So I've had really good luck with savages. You guys remember the one we treated with that treatment down in Luna? It was a savage. It was a Model 10 Cowboy, heavy barrel, 308. You know, the oversized bolt handle and the whole nine yards. And it damn sure would shoot. It was shot good anyway. And then when we treated that barrel with that, I forgot what we called it now. I've still got some of it. But once we treated that barrel, it really was a pretty much a one-hole shooter after that. All right, Queso, where do you live anyway? You don't have to tell me exactly. Just give me a general idea. If you're comfortable giving us a state, well, that's okay. I wouldn't put you on the spot there, but just out of curiosity, I haven't seen you. I remember your name, but it's been quite a while since you've been in here, best I remember. So, anyway, San Antonio, Texas. All right. You're a good ways down. I may be going to Texas to do a class here before too long. We've got a guy that has contacted Schatz Ranch, and I don't know who it is. Never met him before. Have no clue. But they have asked for me specifically about coming down and training a group of his people. So we'll see what happens. I don't know what's going on with that. Anyway. All right, we've managed to babble out past our break time here. So I think we'll... let's see. Let me put Tinker's deal in here. All right, we'll be back here in just a couple minutes.
I just hate stupid people.
Shop Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
Hurricanes, tornadoes, Western firestorms, earthquakes, financial collapse, government upheaval. What happens when Walgreens closes? Who do you turn to? You turn to Kat Ellis and myself, Chuck Hudson, on the Medi-Chat and learn how combat medicine and alternative herbal remedies can help keep you going no matter what. The Medi-Chat, live 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Just Measures Radio Network.
It cuts both ways.
I stab people.
I know I'd be there or in there yet if I hadn't used the knife.
But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life.
And a cutting was done. The only part that wasn't bloody was the soles of the big man's feet. And he was cutting about 100 places.
He's got a knife.
That's a knife.
Fast cut is not deepest. Baby, I know the fast cut is not deepest.
Oh, I have all my fingers. The knife goes chop, chop, chop. If I miss the spaces in between, my fingers will come off. And if I hit my fingers, blood will soon come out. But all the same, I play this game, cause that's what it's all about.
The Liberty Lounge,
brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs.
There's a star-spangled banner waving somewhere in a distant land so many miles.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Corp Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me
there. All right, we're back. A little discussion in the chat room. By the way, for those of you that for those of you that are in the area and looking for something to do over Independence Day weekend, come on out to Schott's Ranch. It's not every year that 4th of July happens on a Friday or Saturday or weekend. So on a Friday this time, we got a 3-day weekend coming up, and I think you ought to come spend it at Schott's Ranch. There'll be some, you know, various games and stuff going on out there. We may have some live music. We may. Amy, did you ever hear from that guy? Nope, she's gone. We may have some live music. We're not sure yet. We'll try to get that confirmed here in the next couple of days before the weekend. But basically, we're just gonna shoot, goof around, cook some hamburgers, and play some games, get some challenges going here, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. The reason we're doing this, for those of you that don't know, we have a guy that was up here during our open house 3 or 4 weeks ago. Awesome individual. I think very, very highly of this guy. And unfortunately, during these troubled times, he's being deployed to Japan. I don't know if deployed is right, or he's been sent to Japan anyway. And some of his buddies got together, and Cowboy was one of them. They're trying to figure out what they could do for this guy for his last hoorah. What are we going to do for him? They couldn't figure it out, so, well, just ask him. And he said, I want to go to Schott's Ranch one more time before I leave the country. That was his big thing. So we're going to make that happen for him. We're going to have a lot of fun out there. The fire restrictions are going to put a damper on some things. We're up into stage two restrictions now. That's a little bit of a problem. But we'll work on that here over this week. But the biggest thing out there is to, T-Dog, buddy, I know it. Damn it, I wish that I was win the lottery. I'd help you get out there, but it's getting tougher and tougher and tougher for everybody. But Cowboy, you think your wife's going to okay that 408 Chi-Tech, right? Wrong. No, I'm thinking that's not going to happen. Be nice. It would be very nice. But 007, you was thinking a while ago, you said something. Let's see. Let me go back up here and find out exactly what you said. The one with the most poop, 2,176 yards, is obtainable. Well, the poop doesn't have as much to do with it as how you got your scope set up. Your average, just regular, everyday, ordinary, run-of-the-mill type scope mount and setup is not going to work. You're going to have to, that thing's going to have to be up off the barrel. One end of it's going to have to go. They have special scope rings for that. I don't know if you knew this or not, but it sets the, what happens is the average scope, especially that far, I don't think there's any scope really that has enough adjustment to get it up that high. So if you're trying to reach out there and do that, it's probably going to be poop house luck more than anything else. Yeah, you can guesstimate it and you can hold over and, you know, eventually you can walk them in there and you can hit it, you know, sooner or later. But if you want them, you know, shoot groups and actually, you know, do it on purpose, you're not going to do it with conventional equipment. Not going to happen. Not even close. You'll be lucky if you stay in the same zip code with it. But you get as Cowboy says, you get a 30 MOA base. That tilts that thing up quite a bit. It's pretty obvious that it's not, not pretty obvious, but to the decent shooter, you can see it pretty well. Tilts that scope up so that you can get enough adjustment on it to reach out that far. Well, I'm having a hard time tonight for some reason. Hold on. Goodness, I don't know what I'm doing. But even at 1,000, you got quite a few scopes that'll do okay out to 1,000. But even at 1,000, it's a pretty good amount of elevation there. Remember, we've talked about this a time or two before, but just a swag here, just a scientific wild ass guess. If you take the average rifle that shoots, 2,900 feet a second, something like that, maybe as low as 27, just a ballpark figure. If you zero that thing at 200 yards, you're going to be approximately 30 to 35 feet low at 1,000 yards. That means if you don't have your elevation figured out and your equipment's not set up for it, you're going to need to aim about 30 feet or so, depending on the type of bullet you're using and the speed. You're going to need to aim at least 30 feet above that target. So all your buddies down at the beer joint, when they tell you that they killed that deer at 1,000 yards, and you ask them how far over did you aim, they're going to say right about top of his back, just over his back. Shut up. No, you didn't. You take a 270, 7mm Magnum. Let's say that with a good boat tail bullet. Running, 3,000 feet a second or so, probably 26, 28 feet. I'm just pulling these out off the top of my head, but I bet you Cowboy can verify that. I'm pretty close. Take 30-06, 180 grain bullet. You're looking at 30, 32 feet, something like that. Maybe a little better, depending on the velocity. And the 7 points, let's give you an idea of how to compare that. 7.62 by 39 is 51 feet. So that'll give you an idea of what you're looking to do. Something that's running 2,400 feet a second, like the 7.62 by 39 with 125 grain bullet, you're looking at 51 feet. So you get a 223 with a 68 grain bullet in it, running what, 27 probably, maybe 28. A boat tail type bullet, and you're probably looking at 28 feet, something like that. Anyway, that's definitely not exact, but it gives you a pretty good idea. But in saying that, don't let me discourage you. By all means, get out there and find out the. That's right, Hopper. Gravity affects them the same way, but the travel time. That's why I said the velocity. The faster they're going, the less your drop will be. But don't let me pee in your post toasties here. If you want to get out and piddle around and do that, it's very, very satisfying to pick a boulder out on the side of a ridge somewhere, 800, 1,000, 1,200, 1,500 feet away or whatever it is, and poke at it until you figure it out. Once you figure it out, then, hey, Firewall made it in with us. Better late than never, yeah. You got to go stand in the corner, Firewall. When you're over an hour late, you have to stand in the corner till the show's over. Cowboy, now look, it's 46 inches at 500 yards. See what it is at 1,000, though. It's a whole lot more than that. Go out and do it with a handgun. Go out and pick you a boulder out there way across the canyon and figure out what it is you got to do. Now, you may not ever be able to do that match grade accuracy thing at that distance, but at least you have some idea of what you're doing at the longer range. You can use your, well, not any reticle that you have, but I think we talked about this once before, and that's your probably one of those popular reticles out there is the 30-30 reticle or the duplex reticle. And now, of course, a mil dot reticle is certainly desirable when you're shooting that far, providing you know how to read it and how to utilize it. But you can do pretty well with that duplex reticle if you mess with it a little bit and kind of get an idea what the distances are between the point where the hairs cross, right at the crosshairs to the top of the heavy post right there. You can also get a distance between the end of the two heavy posts, the one that's on the top and the one that's on the bottom, and see what that distance is, or that length, that measurement is at different yardages. And you can kind of use that as a rangefinder if you know what you're doing. It's not nearly as accurate as a regular rangefinder, but what Hopper's saying right there, he said, but you could make them duck. And that's my point exactly. No, we're not going to make headshots. All right, Cowboy, you're doing all the homework for us. What's 205 inches divided by 12? About, what, 24 feet or something? I'm not sure. You can make them duck. You can get out there and you're not going to do any headshots. You're not going to do any match grade stuff. But like I've said, when I'm shooting a handgun, you know, most people can't hit a freight train at 500 yards or at 300 yards. Wow, 17 feet. Ooh, that's better than I thought. But what velocity was you figuring that out, that Cowboy? Maybe you put it up there and I didn't pay any attention. Let me go up there and see. Oh, the 55 grain. Oh, yeah, you're probably looking at, what, 3,300 feet or something like that. That makes a big difference. What was I saying there? Oh, yeah, you can talk about just making them duck. So I would rather, have a group of people with me, or even me by myself, if it come down to it, I would rather have some idea of where my gun hits, where my bullets are going to strike, out at 200, 300, 500, 600 yards with a handgun, rather than being missing by, you know, over 500 feet at 500 yards. Yes, I've seen people do it. Lots of people do it. They have no clue. So the way to do it, to get a clue, you can go down and find them on sale at Walmart from time to time. But generally, if you want to get a clue, you're going to have to get out there and get off of it and get out in the woods and play a little bit. Don't get so caught up in this setting at a range and doing all this organized stuff where you got paper at certain ranges out there. Get out and go out in the desert, out in the woods, go out somewhere and shoot at things at unknown ranges. Practice, try, play. And we got an update on the, I thought 17 feet was pretty shallow, but we got an update on the velocity coming in here. Let's see what happens here. But yeah, Hopper, I don't doubt that at all. And, you know, when you get out and do things like that, Hopper seen him hit a garbage can at 400 yards with a Super Blackhawk or a Ruger Blackhawk. I can tell you that he didn't do it consistently. But there's no doubt in my mind that you can hit a trash can at 500 yards with a 44 Magnum. Or 400, whatever it was. I used to sit out on the canyon walls out there when I was in Montana and Idaho and all them places out there. And, God, I have no idea how many thousand rounds I launched across canyons out there trying to hit a rock the size of a 48-quart cooler out there whatever. I never did learn what the ranges were, but I did learn that by looking and guessing, I had some idea of what my gun would do. And when I launched one out there, yeah, shoot them out there just to see where it went. It's fun. It's a whole lot funner than sitting around shooting at paper targets. That sucks. Shooting paper targets is good for one thing only, and that's getting your gun sighted in properly. Once you get that, you're done. Now, I should say paper bullseye targets. Of course, we use paper targets in our training, you know, the humanoid-type targets and stuff like that. But hey, firewall, tell her hello for me. Let's see. Okay. Now, cowboy, you're talking now. That's more what I was thinking. 29.8 feet. So I was, a foot off or so? That sounds more like it. At 17 feet, you must have been figuring like 5,000 feet a second or something there. But anyway, I'm glad you got that straightened up for us. 136 pounds of energy left, which is approximately what a 22 long rifle has at the muzzle. Somewhere in that same vicinity. So just because the bullet can get there doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be as excited as it was when it left. That's certainly the case in that 223 there. You know, and I've talked so many times about the 22 Magnum, but I want to throw this out real quick before we go. We're getting close to quitting time here. That, 22's going that fast, you better still make a boo-boo. I mean, there's been a many a man die that with 22's a lot less energy than that. But Firewall brings up another point there. If we have a group of people out there that know their weapons and know their ballistics well enough, and that's one of the things we teach in our militia classes, moving targets, aerial targets. How much do you lead a vehicle going 40 miles an hour as if it were on a dirt road? How much for 70 miles an hour on the highway? How much do you have any idea? So our guys have an idea. because we've put those figures together, and we go out and put that into practical application as best we can and still be safe. And find out what those guns will do. So if you firewall says here that it'll still scare Haji and make him duck for cover. Exactly. That's exactly the point. If we know our guns and know what they're going to do, then we can, if, you know, worst case scenario, we'll buy some time. We may not be able to kill everybody that's big enough to die out there that far away, but I think we can, we'll buy us a little time, make them get behind, slow them down a little bit. We get four or five good marksmen out there that know their weapons. We can sure as hell slow them down long enough for the women and kids and the elderly to get away. Have a couple of guys with them to move them on to a safer place while we hold them off there. And I mean, people tell us, oh, that's fantasy. You can't do that. Well, yeah, I think we can. I think when you know your gun and you, if a bullet hits within 10 feet of you, and that happens more than once, I think the average person's going to slow them down just a little bit. And if we can make them get behind cover and regroup and think about what the hell are we going to do just exactly here, I can't see that as a bad thing. But that's just me. You know how I am. A little radical there. Anyway. Okay. The BB burner, yeah, you get it. You understand. And I have taken, I know that with a Glock 27, well, let's use my Glock 35. My best group with a Glock 35, if I remember, I was either 36 or 39.